We're shifting our gear again. We're on gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. We're on the campus.
Amen.
We're here for the Lord's work.
Amen.
I really enjoy this hymn. I dwell with the King for His work. His burden we willingly bear.
Amen.
That's His burden. Amen. Okay. How about we read these two lines of title together? Okay, go. Shepherding on college campuses, being burdened. Hallelujah. Being burdened to gain people by taking up the leadership on campus. I think if I impress you with this title, being burdened to gain people, and I think my job is done. Hallelujah. We need to be gained. We need to be burdened to gain people. Okay, well, before we getting into this matter, what does it mean to be burdened? We say this a lot, right? Burden is something weighs on our heart in particular way that it affects our living and service. Now, one more time. Burden is something weighs on our heart, right? In very particular way that it affects our living and service. Okay, this matter, the gaining people, is it on your heart? And then, is it you have heavy burden in your heart that affects your going to the campus? That's our question. Are we going to campus in casual way? Are we going to campus to get just diploma, education? Or are we going to campus to gain people? And then you have heavy burden on you. And affect your schedule, affect your time, affect your even money that you have. Okay, that's a question. Are we burdened to gain people? Okay, we have to realize that God cares for people. God is in the people's business, right? God's economy is to gain people. Gain many sons for His expression in full way. So we need many people, okay? I was considering this matter of spending time with the Lord today, this matter of being burdened. I just reminded about Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor. The perfect example. Actually, Brother Lee said, Hudson Taylor didn't learn that much about his spirituality. Only thing he knew was actually abiding in the Lord. Okay? Okay? But he was burdened for China. His heart is so large that he wanted to gain all the people, typical Chinese. So when he was at the age of 17, he dedicated himself to China, okay? And he went to China 21 years old, just like you, right? You know, we know story, you know, he spoke Chinese, not only speak one dialect, he had many dialects, and also he dressed like Chinese people, and he had dress, or what do you call it, pigtail. Yeah. I went to Brazil, I just dressed like American. I don't feel good about to be like Brazilian, you know what I mean? But he forsake everything. He just wanted to be like Chinese. His heart is to gain Chinese people. You know what Bradley said? Because of his heart, okay, God added everything that he needed. Spirituality that he need, biblical knowledge that he need, and the church practices everything, he just got added to him. Okay, I hope that when we go to campus, I hope that we would have burden for our campus. Okay, and we're talking about the taking up the leadership on the campus, right? Is that normal? The student take the lead on the campus, right? And Brother Lee charges that all saints go to campus. And probably you see some middle-aged saints there open their home, and we see also full-timers there serving full-time. But this is campus. And then it's a student club sometimes. So you need to be active. You need to be properly aggressive. You need to be vital people. Living and active. Living. Living in life. Touch the Lord every morning. Love the Lord. And pray and fellowship. And not only living, you should be active. Active in contacting people, shepherding people, taking care of people. And also we need to be vitally related. We can't do it by ourselves. We need many companions to do it together, right? It's normal for you to take the lead on the campus. Okay. Let me share a little bit of history with me, with you guys. 7 years ago, I started serving the Noring in George Mason campus. At that time, we didn't have any students. So team was formed, went to apprenticeship, and you know, composition of that serving team was quite interesting. The four of them were over 50 years old, and out of these four, three of them were approaching 70s. So here we are. We want to pick up this burden for campus. So around the student union, these two grandma approaching 70s, you know, come to our welcome meeting, passing our track, right? Come to our Bible study. Does this sound normal to you? I love this brother. He's a 7 year, he's over 70 years old, and he's a co-worker. Now he has his lunch bag and a huge backpack here, and then talking to 19 years old freshman. Can I talk to you about mystery of human life? Does this sound normal to you? Or when we have a Bible study, right? Eight of them are full-timers. None of them are students. And we have two students there. It's not normal. It's not fitting, okay? So we need to have some students be active on the campus. Amen. We're waiting for you. I think all the serving ones would echo here. We need students, properly active and aggressive, okay? Okay, let's, Daniel 11:32, it said, the people who know their God, what's that? Show strength and take action. It seems like here, this verse, it didn't say, mighty God will show strength and take action. It said, the people who know their God. Don't we know the Lord? I mean, who study the Bible like us? Okay, we try to be objective here. We know God. We have to say that we know God. I mean, we're getting into the all-inclusive, all-extensive Christ, and He become the reality of the all-positive thing. Who's studying this way? And then we also know the inner sense of life. We know sense of peace and sense of, you know, life. So we have to say in faith, we know our God. Amen. And what do? Show strength and take action.
Amen.
Amen. How about we look up one verse, Acts 26:16. Okay, ready? Go. Rise up and stand up. Amen. God pointed us as a minister and witness. Okay, when we think about minister, we have certain concept of minister, right? Certain kind of dress and everything. Actually, minister are the one ministering Christ. It's easy. Actually, the other day, Tuesday, me and another brother went to preach the gospel. One guy is pretty bored. He was waiting for his brother to come out of the class. We talk about calling upon the name of the Lord. I enjoy the other brothers talking about this matter. He's ministering Christ to these people. We can be minister and witness. It's even easier. Witness is not those people who try to convince people. You saw something and you just testify. Can we do that? Minister and witness. We need to rise up and stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How about we, you know what? Let me tell you one more thing. Reason why, there's a time factor here, okay? You have only 4 years on the campus. You have to be wise. we're all useful. Particularly when you are in college, you're really useful. Let me read you this. This is from preaching the gospel on the college campuses. We need the young people to go to the campuses, especially those who are 18 and 19 years old. He said, all the young people in the church life are useful. This is why we had to work with our high schoolers. After graduating from high school, they all will be on the campuses to effectively contact the freshmen. People over 25 have a more difficult time in contacting freshmen. I'm 35 years old. I'm having a hard time. Am I going to leave campus? No. This is the best fishing pond. I'm going to be there forever. But am I useful like you? No. You are more useful, okay? They are not as useful and prevailing as the younger saints on the campus. There is an open door for the 18-year-old freshman to contact other freshmen. A person is most effective when he contacts a person who is his same age. Someone who is 18 may not easily talk with me because I am much older than he is. But it is so easy for an older man to talk with me. We can talk because we are birds of the same feather. Birds of the same feather can talk together. Can you talk with your friend? Can you talk with your classmate? That's advantage. That's advantage. We have to utilize our advantage, right? Sometimes we become too spiritual, you know. I don't have burden. It's okay. You just go contact people. Let me share just one story with you. You know, we set up our table for orientation. We have 18 different times, 300 every time, 300 people come. We have 30 minutes window for our club table. We have like very small space. And we have dear young sister, 18 years old. Okay, she's sitting here. All she does, we're the Christians on campus. Sign up. That's all she said. And then people's like, oh, so what are you doing? Ask Jeremy. I mean, sometimes Matt and I, we're a little bit younger side, and we try to be on the campus and we try to be, you know, positive as possible, pleasant as possible. All we can get is 15. But this sister, we're Christians on campus, sign up. Sometimes she doesn't even say we're Christians on campus. Sign up! Sign up! 40 people! 45! You know, we're useful, brothers and sisters. There's a time factor here. You're not going to be useful anymore. Your usefulness is going to be limited. So grab every opportunity. Every opportunity. When you go to campus, you have sensed that God is with me. If I'm not active, God's kingdom suffers. Okay? So I'm going to gain people. I'm here for gaining people. Okay? How about, let's read Roman number 1. The Lord's up to date in me is to gain young people for his recovery. We must pray to be burdened with this commission. Brothers and sisters, we have commission. Okay? How do we receive this burden? This is a powerful quote. Let me just read you this. Actually, is it included in your excerpt? We also need to pray to be burdened, okay? Sometimes we pray to fellowship, pray for our spiritual growth, but we can pray in a very particular way. We can pray to be burdened, okay? Lord, burden me with your commission. Burden me with your move and your economy. If you all go to the Lord and pray like this, listen to this. After one prevailing prayer, you will be burdened. One prayer. One prevailing prayer, you will be burdened. You will be burdened with the Lord's present economy and with His commission to go to people In order to work for the Lord, we must have a burden. Brothers and sisters, this is crucial. How about sisters? Read A. Okay. Burden make it different. Burden make it different. Okay. Some of the sisters, you think that I'm not people person, you know. I don't have that much burden. But we've got to pray to receive burden. I've seen so many cases, shy, reserved people gaining fruit. And I've seen so many cases, outgoing people gain nobody. I've seen too many cases, I am convinced. Okay, I checked with my wife, that would share her case. So, if you know Abby, she's most outgoing person ever, probably you ever seen. She went to Georgia Tech. I know the saints in Atlanta try to burden her a little bit on the campus because she was really outgoing person. She was involved with 10 different organizations. She was leader for 7 different organizations. Okay, she wasted her life for 4 years there. She didn't gain anybody. Zero. She told me she owed 1,000 people. Now she's paying back, but she's not useful as before. If she'd say a little bit to their friend, they could be gained. They could be gained. Don't waste your time. Burden matters. It's not about your disposition. It's not about your personality. If you have burden, you have way. Okay? Okay, let's read one all together.
We must be burdened to the extent that we feel it's possible. If the work does not succeed, we should be like a businessman, making our business even if not succeed.
Do you know the word businessman? Luke 19, actually, there's a parable. The master is going away, right? And then he gave his money to these 10 different slaves. You know what he said to them? Do business until I come. Brothers and sisters, do business until I come. We're businessmen, okay? This is equal money. Equal money. If you are saved, if you receive the Lord, you have same portion. Same portion. Do business. You know, businessmen, they are serious. Do you know why? Because they put their money in there. So they don't want to lose money. So day and night, they think about money. My parents has a very small shop, and I wouldn't consider it as business, but they just check this money every day, daily, weekly, and monthly. They work hard. Sometimes they don't make it. They work overtime. Okay? They budget their time and budget money. They are serious people. Okay? Are we serious about the Lord? Are we serious about gaining people on the campus? Particularly if you're a senior, okay, you have only so much time. Okay, you have 1 year. Maybe the door will be closed. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, wake us up. We want to rise up for you. Okay, so even this money that the slaves got, I realize that that's not our money. Actually, Lord gave it to us. Lord bless us, even in the training. Didn't you enjoy the Lord so much? Didn't we get perfected? Is it just for ourselves? But actually, we had to business with it. We had to use this to gain people. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to gain people for the Lord's economy.
Amen.
Okay, two, having a burden means that we have a goal which we must reach. Okay? Sometimes when we pray, it's so general. Lord, we're here for your testimony. Lord, raise up testimony. Oh, we'd like to stand up for you. Sometimes when you are in business, you have to be practical. Right? Gaining people, takes time, right? So you talk to somebody and you haven't seen that much, you can pray specifically, Lord, I want to see that guy again. You can pray in a definite way. You see them and you talk to them a little bit, you know, persevere in prayer. And the next phrase actually, watching in it. You have to watch it, right? Lord, release it, right? Now you get together with this guy and then you talk to them a little bit and you saw a little bit, you pray more. Lord, Lord. You can go on and on. You have to have definite goal in our prayer, and because we're serious people to gain people. Okay. How about we be all together?
We must all pick up a burden to care for people.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, let me just read you this quote and I'm going to just sit down. Okay. We have a heavy burden and the clear understanding that the Lord desired to accomplish His recovery in this age. Okay? What is the way? The only way He can do this is to gain the young people. The Lord's up-to-date economy is to gain young people, not only in this country, but in all the leading countries for His recovery. Pray to be burdened with this commission. You should all be able to say, the purpose of my life is not to be a scholar or doctor. My life is for the Lord's up-to-date burden. I do have a burden. For this burden, I study and work. For this burden, I am what I am today. Pray that you might become burdened in this way. It means a great deal to have a burden like this. And even we need to remind the Satan. Brother Lee talks about it. When you go to campus, go with such a divine burden. Do not shout at people, but in your spirit, remind Satan. You have come with me a burden. Many times I have spoken to Satan saying, do not touch this work. This is being done according to a burden from the Lord. This is not something of me, but of the Lord. After you pray to the Lord and speak to people, you need to talk to Satan, telling him to stay away from you because you have a burden from the Lord. Get this burden and go with it. Hallelujah. We are young people in the Lord's recovery. We know the truth. We know the way of life. We need to rise up to gain people. Amen.
Can you hear me? Good? Okay. I don't want to get it too close again. Praise the Lord. I just want to touch on a couple things that Jeremy mentioned. I think we both had this. A lot of our burden lies in this first point, because without the first point, it's really hard to enter into the second point. The second point is more of a way, right? And we do need a way on the campus, right, to carry out the Lord's burden. But without a burden, it doesn't matter how good your way is, right? You can have the best way, but if you don't have the heart, your way doesn't matter, right? There's a couple things I really just wanted to touch again is this. Jeremy shared about having a burden. What is a burden? It's something that weighs on your heart, right? And one thing, you know, with the young people, we stress this over and over again, and you see it throughout the Bible, is that the Lord wants to gain the young people. The young people are very useful to the Lord. So when the Lord wanted to do something, He went to young people, right? David was young. Who else was young? Paul was young, right? They laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. You know, who else was young? Samuel, right? Samuel was young, right? He was a child. Moses, you know, it talks about his youth. The Lord Jesus, it talks about his youth. You know, young people, actually the Lord wasn't very old even when He was crucified. What, 33 and a half years old? But a lot of things, you know, were going on. So, you know, the Lord, whenever the Lord wants to do something in a direct way, He uses the young people. It doesn't mean there's no use for the older people, right? Actually, you think about the church life. the structure of the church life is really the older saints, right? But when the Lord wants to move, it has to be through the young people. Especially if He wants to move on the college campuses, He has to move through the young people. You know, I'm not that old yet, but I'm not 20 years old anymore. You know, I don't have the same feathers, you know, as a 20-year-old. But, you know, so it's through the young people. This last point was, this point I think touches me more than all the other points, is we must all pick up a burden to care for people. So a lot of times we think we need to pray for a burden. You know, it's like, oh, I need to go to the Lord and pray. Lord, give me a burden. Well, let me tell you, the Lord has already given you a burden. He's given you many, 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 many burdens, right? You have, is the Lord burdened for people? Right? Is He burdened for your classmates? Is He burdened for freshmen? Right? So that's the Lord's burden, right? So there's already a burden there for people. We know the Lord is burdened for people. So I like these two words, pick up. The burden is there. Someone needs to pick it up, right? We need to pick up this burden. And I like this, pick up a burden to care for people. You know, most of us, I can just speak from my own experiences, most of us don't naturally care for people. I mean, genuinely care for people and have a genuine interest in people. Most of us care for ourselves, even spiritually. You know, when you pray, Lord, it's all me. Lord, grow in me. Grow in me. You know, Lord, me, me, me. You know, I appreciated Robert shared that I missed when he put up the 7 points yesterday, but I have these 7 points about spending time with the Lord, right? Calling, confessing, consecrating, right? What's the last point? Petition, interceding, right? It's praying for others. It's like, so this week, have you heard a little bit about touching the Lord? You've heard a lot about touching the Lord, right? Well, this message is no different. It's like, saints, we need to touch the Lord. You know, we need to go to the Lord. I'd like to recommend this book. I really enjoy this book. I've read it quite a few times. It's The Normal Way of Fruit Bearing and Shepherding for the Building Up of the Church. And I like the title. It's A Normal Way. You know, we're not taking a miraculous way. The Lord isn't just going to drop people on our lap. You know, they don't just fall out of the sky. But, you know, that's a miracle. We're not looking for a miraculous way. We're just looking for a normal way, right? A normal way. And in this book, Brother Lee talks a lot about this matter of our disposition, our natural disposition. So he says a lot of us, our natural disposition is just not interested in people. And some of us, we are interested in people, but it's in a natural way. It's in a loose way. So we're interested in to the extreme of interfering with other people's affairs or just wanting to know, we're curious about what's going on so we can gossip, you know? Or even if you really are interested in people, it's why are you interested in these people? What's the goal? What's the aim? You know? You can just have this natural care for people. But Brother Lee talks about our disposition. And, you know, even, I know for me, it used to bother me a lot. You know, I was taking care of, like, high schoolers. And I used to get really bothered. It's like, okay, I picked up this burden, but I really don't genuinely care for these people. It used to really, I mean, just bother me. It used to weigh on me. It's like, why, Lord, what's wrong with me that I don't care for these people? What's wrong with me that I don't care for this person that's sitting next to me? Remember that verse he shared the other night? This verse really, like, pricked me. Ephesians 2:12, right? Where he talked about these people that are without God and having no hope in the world. Do you realize that the people that we're around are without God, having no hope in the world, right? So some of us, I know Jeremy, Matt, We didn't grow up in the church life, right? So I came in the church life when, in my college years, kind of touched the church life. But I just had this sense sometimes. I remember being on the campus and just walking through the campus and realizing that I'm going to school. I have a goal, but just being with no hope in the world, not really looking forward to it. It's like once I graduate, I go to work and then I die. You know? That's it. I mean, you really have no hope. You know, I had this realization as a young person. It's like, there really is no hope. And I needed somebody to speak about hope. And I appreciated the verse he shared with this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, he didn't just share this by itself. But I sent this verse to a friend of mine because we're burdened. My best friend in high school, about 2 months ago, I got to meet up with him. I haven't seen him in 8 years. And I was speaking to him, and me and my wife were speaking to him. And I just tell you, without God, no hope in the world. I mean, to the point where he says, you know what, he works for a courier service. He said, sometimes I just want to drive my car into a pole. This is my best friend. We had so much fun, you know. We used to joke around and play and laugh. And now you talk to the guy, he can't even smile. You know? I mean, just the things you go through. No hope in the world. So, this used to bother me a lot. It's like, I don't care for people. Genuinely care for people. And I don't have a proper interest in people's soul. You know? And so, I appreciate this book. Brother Lee is like, you know, you need to go to the Lord. Many times, he just comes back to it again. And you need to pray. Lord, burden me for people. Give me a proper interest and care for people. You know? Because I don't. I don't have that kind of heart. You know? And he even shares about our disposition or our character. Maybe you are a person that doesn't, which a lot of us are, you know? But, you know, our disposition is 20% innate. It's like we're born with that. We're just born that way. But 80% is habit. You know, brothers talk about habit. It's something you learn, right? It's something you learn. It's something you can practice. So you can learn to have a genuine interest and care for people. So I just wanted to really hit this point again, because without this, if we don't have the heart, we don't have the way, right? If we don't have the heart, we can have the best way, but nothing works, right? But if we have the heart, even if our way is not so good, people know, this person cares about me, you know? This person's concerned, you know, with my salvation, my growth in life. So, just wanted to hit this again. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. So, is this one of the ways? What kind of way is this? The only way, right? And this is, you know, actually, individually, you can do a work on the college campus. That work can be successful, right? But we're not just trying to do another work on the campus, right? There's a lot of works on the campus, right? There's a lot of other clubs there. There's a lot of, you know, Christians that are burdened for the campus. But we're not just trying to do a work just to gain a bunch of people, you know, just to get people saved. It's like the work we're doing, I like this. We want to carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work. I like this word prevailing, right? What does it mean to prevail? It's to defeat, right? It's to overcome. I mean, is that the right understanding? Prevail. We want to do a prevailing work on our campus. And, you know, as the brothers were sharing about prayer this morning, I felt these messages really go together. But do you realize on your campus, I think the full-timers have this realization. I don't know if the students have much, but that's not really God's territory. You know, I mean, just even being here on this campus, I realize it's dark. You know, And, you know, the people were coming here for, you know, people are coming here, they have a goal, right? But that goal is not tied up with God's purpose. So they, you know, people, this is what happens, at least with a lot of my friends, is they were very happy in college. And they played, and they partied, they had a good time, and now they're about my age. You know, they're in their 30s, and they're not so happy. You know, a lot of the ones I contact, you know, through Facebook, I've been able to get a hold of a couple of my friends from high school. These people that were so happy in high school, they had it all. And now it's just, they share about their life, and it's like, oh, work again. Oh, this happened, that happened. You know, I'm so miserable, and everyone's trying to cheer him up. You know, and that's just the same, that verse keeps coming back to me. Without God, no hope in the world. So, actually, as a college student, you know, especially with freshmen, it seems like the longer you go on in life, the harder it is to turn to the Lord. Because you just get hard. Your heart hardens. Every experience, you know, the longer, the more time that passes, the more things you go through. And your heart. So it's hard to go, you know, even with my friend. Even though he's going through all this stuff and he's just, you know, he's depressed. His heart is just so hard, and it's so hard to turn him. But as young people, you know, yes, they're, you know, without God, no hope in the world, but they're still young. Their heart is still, in a sense, it's starting to harden, but it's still soft. You know, so you as young people have a very unique, we've shared this many times, you have a unique golden opportunity because you're not dealing with hard people. You're dealing with very soft people. You know, they're starting to get hard. They're going through things, and they've gone through things in high school, but, you know, those 20s, they do a number on people, you know? Without God, no hope in the world. So let's read A together. Right. So kind of an, this is another book I want to recommend, but it's only three chapters. It's not the whole book. So it's three chapters in here. It talks about the college campus. And Brother Lee gives a lot of principles. This is Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1967, Volume 2. But you can't just read one chapter of that book. Brother Lee talks about this with young people, actually with all of us. This is the case. But with young people, he noticed this. He says they're either extreme. So you take something and you run with it to the extreme where, you know, all you do is cause a lot of problems. Right? Or you're very legal. Right? So you take something and it has to be this way or it doesn't work. And if you can't fit into this mold, then get out. You know, so this matter, even this matter of the nucleus, he was very, it's like you can take the nucleus, right? And you can make it something that's exclusionary, right? It's like you can join the nucleus and you can't. I'm burdened and you're not. Brother Lee was actually, you know what he said about not being legal? He says it's inflexibility, you know? And he's also say he described it as not being able to go along with others. And so I've heard this a lot before. I'm the only one on my campus. I'm the only one on my campus. Which is, you're the only one that's meeting in the church life on your campus. But you're not the only one on your campus. And you're not the only one that's burdened for your campus. Actually, Brother Lee, it talks in here, and you know, and it's, don't go to the extreme with this, but you know, he said, what if an unbeliever wanted to join your nucleus? Because he's burdened for the campus. It's like, do you exclude him because he's not a believer? You know, that's inflexibility. That's legalism. You know? He's like, you should bring him into the nucleus and then get him saved. You know? It's like, that's a prime candidate, you know? Because he just starts out being burdened for people. You know? He's already burdened. Even, you know, a lot of times we are the only one on our campus. But there, you know, Brother Lee was, he just shares these principles. Okay, so I just want to give you principles. And this book just gives you principles. Right? They're not rules, regulations, and guidelines. They're just principles. But one of the things he says is, well, how do you form a nucleus? Well, first, you need to be burdened. Right? So we need to pick up a burden. My campus. The Lord is burdened for my campus. So I'm going to pick up this burden for my campus. And I need to pray as, Lord, if I'm not burdened for my campus, like, Lord, why don't I care about my campus? But it all starts. You need to go to the Lord as an individual, you know, to pick up this burden. And the second thing is, like, we need to reconsecrate ourselves. You know, consecration. So you realize this is really related to your morning time. You know, a lot of times we can't pick up a burden because we're full of so many other things. So there's no room in our heart for something else. There's no room in my heart for the campus because I'm full of so many other things. You know, I'm full of school, education. I'm here for education. I'm not here. We might not say it, but if I were to ask you, okay, why do you, you know, Andrew, why are you going to Georgia State? Bear more fruit. I think you were going to say to get educated. But you know, this is our thing. It's like, really, it's like, why are we on our campus? Is it to get an education? Is it to pick up the philosophy of the age? Is it to make a lot of friends? Then what's the difference between us and the people who are without God and having no hope in the world? Because that's what they're there for. That's what I was there for. I wanted to get my education, get a good job, and die. You know, whatever you do after you get a good job. You know, but, you know, this is, we need to go to the Lord, spend time with the Lord, and just reconsecrate ourselves to the Lord. You know, Lord, I give you the consent to do what you need to do in my being so that I would be burdened for this campus, right? And that I would be one with you in your work, and what you want to do. And the last point he shares is, he says, find several others who are burdened. So you might be the only one initially. Actually, initially we should all be the only one. But then you need to find others who are burdened. And this is where this matter of legalism comes in. Sometimes we can't go along with others that aren't like us. You know, it's like, well, I want to be burdened with my friends. So I want the people that are like me to be burdened. But a lot of times, the people that are like you aren't burdened. So sometimes you need to find people that aren't like you, but they are burdened, right? Because we're not there, ideally, it's like we're not there for ourselves. We're there to do what? To carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on the college campus. But not even for that, not just to have a work on the campus. Really, this is related to the body. Really, we're gaining, and this is a point that'll come later, it's like we're gaining materials for God's building. For this is all related to God's desire, to God's goal. So, this is why I recommend these books. You know, is a lot of times it's like, would you say this week you've gotten some vision? You've gotten some burden? Okay. Do you feel like you need a little more vision? Do you feel like your vision's not so clear? Yeah. And actually, you know, even this message is, this is kind of like a summary of three messages. You know? And actually, it comes out of a lot more ministry. But, you know, as you read, I've read these chapters at least twice. And then I've kind of gone back to things. And it's still, the second time I read it, it was just so much. The vision just got a little clearer. And then I realized, man, I need to read this again because I'm not so clear. You know, but as we get the vision, with that comes the burden. Right? So that's why I recommend, if you're not burdened, pray, go to the Lord, and maybe read something. You know, read a chapter. But I recommend if you read this book, read all three chapters. Because it's easy to get illegal. It's easy to be kind of excessive. Let's read C together.
All the burdened students need to come together at least once a week.
Did we read B? Let's read B. I'm sorry. So we need to come together, not just to talk, not just to decide what we're going to do, make a lot of decisions, not to socialize. It's really, we need to fan one another's spirit in flame, right? Right? We need to be on fire. We're on fire, right? We can light that whole campus on fire. And, you know, not literally, but, you know, we want to be prevailing on that campus. But if we're all, you know, if our spirits are all quenched, it's really hard to have any impact on that campus. So, you know, when we come together, you know, we should open to one another. The nucleus should, you should know when somebody is not doing so well. You know, if someone is struggling with morning revival, right, we talked about living and active. So the activity should come out of being living. But if someone is not living, right, his activity is just empty. Right? And actually his activity is just, there's no burden behind it. Right? So it's like we need to help one another, you know, in these ways. If someone hasn't read the Bible in months, we shouldn't just say, well, you should read the Bible. You know, we should be burdened. We should pray for one another. It's like, why aren't you reading the Bible? How can we help you read the Bible? And just pray for this person. Okay, we read C. And actually, once a week is kind of like lower end. It's as much as possible. You should come together. And don't think, you know, a lot of times it's like, well, we can't all get together. But you can get together. You know, you don't be so legal. Because we can't get together, can't have a nucleus. It's like, I know there's schedule conflicts, but some of you can get together, you know, and some of you can get together at other times. You can meet together on the campus, meet together in the homes. Okay, let's read D. One, two, and three.
We should always pray together. The primary matter that we should attend to is prayer. We should always fellowship with one another. We should always make decisions as a group.
Right. And based on I really like this, based on the last message. The primary matter we should attend to is prayer. Right? And, you know, this is specifically and purposely for the gospel. You know, so yes, we do need to get together and we do need to pray for one another, but it's with the view, you know, it's like we want, you know, the gospel needs to be preached on our campus. We need to gather these materials for the Lord's desire. I like this verse in 1 Timothy 2:1. It says that prayer should be made on behalf, and intercession should be made on behalf of all men. And I like the note for interceding means interfere before God in others' affair for their benefit. You know, we need to interfere. You know, it's like we have all these friends, these freshmen that we're contacting. We need to intercede for them. We need to interfere in their affairs before God on their behalf. And then, you know, I notice this a lot of times we get together in Atlanta we have a coordination, but I notice we get together a lot of times and sometimes there's just not a lot of prayer, but there's a lot of decision making, you know? And so that's why maybe if we get out or just read these verses in Acts 13, 1 through 4. Okay, go ahead.
Now the Lord heard from Antioch, in the local church, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and
so they sent out, right, Barnabas and Paul, But what were they doing before that? How did they decide to send out Paul and Barnabas? What were they doing? It's in the verse. Ministering to the Lord. Right? So they were when we come together, it should be to minister to the Lord. Not just to make a bunch of decisions. I like the note on this. It's not conferring with men and organizing. So we don't come together to confer with one another and to organize. We're coming together to minister to the Lord. And as we're ministering to the Lord, right, He puts this burden on us concerning, you know, who should we contact? Who are the prime ones that we're contacting that we should really labor on? You know? So, I just appreciated this. We'll just read through these last few points. Go ahead, brothers.
All of our aim should be that people would be saved, become members of our groups. We should not be satisfied simply to bring people into our groups. We still need to take a burden to help them grow.
Sisters, yeah?
Those in the nucleus must know that their burden is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church.
All together, I'm G.
No matter how many of us there may be in our family or on our hands, in our preaching of the gospel, everyone must be fully impressed that we are in one spirit.
Okay, and I'll just end with these. These are basic principles, basic prerequisites to forming a nucleus. And this comes out of, there's more than these, but these are basic ones. The first one is be young, is learn to be young. And Brother Lee kind of defines being young. It's being young is not being loose. It's be with the Lord in our spirit, always fresh and new. And it's learning to stand against our natural temperament. And then I like this. Be happy. Laugh. Smile. So a lot of us, is, you know, just sometimes being with the young people, sometimes I feel like you're 60 years old. You know? It's like I feel like I'm dealing with old people. You know? And so, you know, if we can't to contact people, it's like it's very difficult if you can't smile. People are not very open to people when they can't smile. You know, when I was, just real quick, when I was a kid, I was very shy. And so my mom didn't like that. She's not very shy. So what she did is like, you know, you have to go sell candy bars door to door? Well, she'd park the car and then she'd make me get out by myself and go to the door and talk to the people. And then, you know, when you go to pay at the cashier, she would make me talk to the cashier and do all the paying and she would leave. And so, you know, eventually my disposition, I was very shy, but I learned, you know, I was taught. It took a long time, but eventually you learn to contact people. So we need to learn, you know, even this matter of just learning to smile at people. You know, it's like if you're a frowny face, you need to learn just to crack a smile. Anyways, second one, have a proper relationship with the church. You know, realize that everything we're doing on the campus is not for the campus. It's for the church. And it's for the building up of the church. Three, forsake legalism. We talked about that. And then four, you need to have adequate spiritual experiences. I like this. It's like you can only take people as far as you've gone. So if you don't have morning revival, how are you going to lead someone in a morning revival? If you've never consecrated yourself to the Lord, how are you going to lead someone to consecrate? You've never dealt with your past. How do you lead someone to deal with their past? So, anyways, I'll just end with this. You know, this nucleus is never loose and without a name. It is possible for us to be people who have a right relationship with the church, who have dropped legalism, and who have learned various spiritual lessons, yet who are still quite loose and aimless. So praise the Lord for the formation of the nucleus on the college campuses.